Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. A few months ago, the billionaire Elon Musk was in the papers for advising his staff, or sending an email, I think it was, to his staff in Tesla, that if they were stuck in a terrible meeting, they should simply stand up and walk out. When I was reading this, I'd images of empty boardrooms up and down the country. You know, when I've worked with organizations over many years, the most common refrain when you mention meetings is people will throw their eyes to heaven. You know, I suppose according to Elon Musk, or maybe the point he was making was that if the meeting is not adding value, or you feel your time is better spent elsewhere, then you should drop off a call or walk out of the meeting. And it's an extreme point to make, but maybe there was some logic behind it. You know, there is no doubt that many meetings are ineffective. To paraphrase Tolstoy, productive meetings are all alike, but every unproductive meeting is unproductive in its own unique way. Of course, as forums, meetings are essential. Meetings inform and educate. It's where a lot of decisions are made, actions are agreed, conflicts can be resolved, risks can be assessed, you know, consensus can be reached. But equally, they can all be an incredible waste of time. I certainly equate some meetings that I've attended, not in the recent past, I have to say, but in times gone by, a bit like being stuck in traffic. Like, you know, you want to get somewhere, but you're sort of stuck and you can't do anything about them. Interestingly, of course, with meetings, they're where a few things converge. You know, for me, meetings is where time management and communication skills intersect. And meetings also magnify a company's culture, the best and the worst aspects of it. You know, I always say if I want to get a feeling of what a company culture is like, I'll sit in on a few meetings because that's when you'll see it or hear it or observe it. So in this week's podcast, I'm going to share 10 tips for effective meetings. They are particularly relevant if all of them are relevant, but some of them particularly so if you're the one who has the authority to chair or to run or to organize a meeting. But even if you're just someone who attends meetings, you'll still be able to take something from this week's episode. Before I dive into this week's 10 tips for effective meetings, I want to take a quick moment to thank you for tuning in. I hope you're finding the podcast series of benefit, certainly covering a diverse topic, even if I contrast this week's episode to last week's future meditation, which was something quite different, quite personal. If you're enjoying it, by all means, write a review or give me a star rating or pass the details on to friends or colleagues who might find it of benefit. So let's get stuck into this week's tips. As with many of the tips I share across a number of topics, the first one is a fairly logical one. It's about knowing your result. You know, as I often say to people, whether it's from a time management perspective or running a meetings perspective, even a delivering of a presentation perspective, it's always useful to have a fairly clear idea as to what it is you're trying to achieve. You know, otherwise you're the dart thrower trying to hit the treble 20 and not knowing where the dartboard is. So tip one for running an effective meeting is give some consideration to what your desired result is. How will you know when the meeting is successful? That's a very powerful question. You know, what do you want the meeting to achieve? Always remember that a meeting is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. That's often the first critical distinction point I make when I'm working with organizations in this area. So many meetings are just in the diary and they, you know, they come around on the first Friday of every month or whatever the rota is. And it's a habit. But of course, some habits are beyond their sell-by dates. You know, is the meeting achieving the objectives? Why are you meeting? What's the motivation behind it? You know, it's the old adage of how will you know you're on track unless you know your destination? You know, what is the destination of the meeting? What is the purpose of it? So that's tip number one, know your result or clarity of outcome. The second tip is a fairly basic one, but I'm continuously amazed that this doesn't happen as frequently as it should. And that's about circulating the agenda beforehand. Now, the agenda doesn't need to be a very detailed document, but at minimum, people need to know why the meeting is taking place and what is it going to be about or focused on, what's the desired outcomes. If you're someone who's invited to a meeting without an agenda, perhaps part of your responsibility is to seek one or to at least seek a little bit more clarity. You know, if again you're organizing the meeting and you send out the agenda, it's an opportunity for people to prepare. And maybe there's some material that you want them to read in advance, some homework to do. When I run these meetings, and certainly when I ran these meetings in the past, I made it explicit in the pre-meeting communication that if people were required to read certain materials beforehand, you know, it's maybe not acceptable if they show up and that work is not done. You know, effective meetings do not regurgitate material that attendees should have read in advance. You know, we're all adults here. I remember years ago attending one of the first management meetings I was at in an organization where I was working. And the MD, a very switched on, effective individual, a very good people manager. But I attended meetings that he stopped because he realized that the people attending it had not read the material beforehand. And he said, it's a complete waste of time. If we look at the amount of, you know, the rate per hour in this room, it's a complete waste of time if you've not prepared for it. So he stopped the meeting and would reconvene it when people had done their homework. And sometimes to adjust behavior in any circumstance, there requires some consequences. And that was some consequences. People were uncomfortable. But the next time that meeting was scheduled, people had their homework done, myself included, right? Done it to a better standard, put it that way. So the second tip is circulate the agenda beforehand and make it clear if people are required to do some preparation work before the meeting. Because oftentimes the effectiveness of the meeting is determined by the work that goes in before the meeting actually happens. Wearing my time management and organizational skills hat for a moment, I'm a great fan of the third tip here for running effective meetings, which is time boxing. So I'll time box even if I'm doing an activity by myself. You know, I'm doing my monthly accounts. I'm going to start it at 8. I'm going to schedule to finish it at 9. And that's what time boxing is. It's not just having a start time, but also an end time. So many meetings, you know, when they take place, of course, will have a start time. They may not start completely on time, but so many meetings don't have an end time, which makes it how long is a piece of string. And they'll turn into talking shops. Most modern organizations will have natural time boxing built in because maybe they can only book a meeting room for an hour at a time, or people's schedules are so tight. I know one or two IT organizations where meetings will take place only on the hour. So it's a bit like they can be stacked in people's schedules rather than, you know, overlapping. So time boxing is really about being clear on the start and the end time. And it is the responsibility of the person running the meeting to be aware of time as well. Starting the meeting on time, I often think, is just a threshold competency, but finishing it on schedule is where the real skill comes in. But at the same time, you want to ensure that the meeting's outcomes are achieved, and that's where the skill comes into it, as I say. Following on from that last point, point number four, the fourth tip for running an effective meeting is consider having an outer limit of maybe 90 minutes for the meeting. In my experience, effective meetings rarely last for more than 90 minutes in duration. And that's part of the natural peaks and troughs that our bodies and minds just run when it comes to paying attention. You know, it's very difficult to pay attention to the same task for more than 90 minutes. I often think if the agenda is long, can the meeting be split up? Or maybe it's more than one meeting that's trying to take place. There is a difference as well between meetings and brainstorms, you know, or workshops, because they, by their nature, can be longer. That links into the next point as well. Halfway point number five is consider having fluid attendees at the meeting. Now, what do I mean by this one? You know, do all the attendees need to be present for the entire meeting? Most of the time they don't. You know, could people come and go depending on the agenda item? It's like having a revolving door for the meeting. What would be the most effective use of people's time? Of course, this type of meeting can only happen in mature organizations where people are trusted to make the best decisions for both them and the company. And the freedom is given to the staff, given to the attendees to determine how their time is best spent. Now, of course, you know, there is an element of trust involved. But if I go back to basics with that, you know, are you hiring people or working with people that you don't trust? That brings us into a bigger question and perhaps a topic for another weekly podcast. But I've certainly seen in organizations this type of meeting taking place, where people are staying or going depending on the agenda item and how their time is best spent. So just one to consider. Tip number six is to keep the actions visible. Now, so many meetings, of course, fall down because they turn into talking shops and the actions are ambiguous or there's no clear ownership of it. You know, for me, the minutes of a meeting need to be very simple and straightforward, based on who, what, where and when. And if these can be kept visible, maybe it's on a flip chart or a whiteboard, or, you know, it's even projected. I've seen that happen in meetings. This ensures greater clarity, so there's no uncertainty around who's doing what. And of course, when the actions are visible, and if it's a regular meeting, the discussion or the ticking off of those actions are the starting point for the next meeting. Because again, meetings are only a means to an end about progression in a direction. So tip number six was keep the actions visible and the ownership of those actions visible. Tip number seven is a wider communication skills tip, and it's about preparing questions, not just statements. You know, if you think about preparing for anything, a presentation or a meeting, of course, part of your preparation will go into considering points you want to make. But just because something is said doesn't mean it is heard or understood. And questions is how we test for understanding. Questions is also how we transform monologues into dialogues. We might know what we want to say in certain situations or on certain issues, but statements won't necessarily statements won't necessarily stimulate discussion, but questions do. So as well as preparing some statements in advance, can you give some consideration to some questions that you might find useful to pose or to ask of others, even if they're rhetorical? And there's an extra point on this one as well. If you're someone who's responsible for putting an agenda together, remember that second point, that second tip, rather than listing the topics to be explored as statements, perhaps consider listing them as questions. So rather than saying something like, you know, heading titles for the meeting, like customer service or bad debts, you know, consider rephrasing them into something like, maybe how can we enhance customer service or how can we minimize bad debts? Questions are how we engage the brain. So if someone's reading that, you know, if an attendee is reading that on an agenda, their brain's already harnessed into considering how they would respond to it. So what you're really doing is inviting the attendees to think about solutions before the meeting even starts. And that certainly is a tip when it comes to effectiveness. Tip number eight is about harnessing technology. You know, meetings in the past were all about, you know, switching the phones off and, you know, paying attention in the room. But, you know, technology has encroached upon us now in that it's part of, you know, the everyday norm. And therefore, it's useful to consider how can smartphones or tablets or laptops be used most effectively during the meeting. You know, perhaps if an action point is allocated during the meeting, could that person act on it during the meeting itself? You know, if it's about sending an email or contacting someone, rather than taking it as an action point, they could actually do it there and then. I've seen that happening, you know, if they're connected online. Of course, to do this, trust is required. If someone has their phone or their laptop with them, you know, they could be playing Angry Birds. But it is worthwhile, I think, to get curious about how technology could serve you more during meetings. I've also seen it happen, and this quite amazed me, where the agenda for the meeting was projected along with action points, so people could see them visibly being added to or crossed off as the meeting progressed. And when the action points were allocated, people were able to use their laptops or their phones or whatever during the meeting. And as they were acting on some of the action points that they had been allocated, you could see them being actually scribbled off. And I thought this was as slick as it gets, because the action points out of the meeting were actually being acted on before the meeting was concluded. And this group had brought me in to see how I could further enhance their effectiveness from a meeting perspective. And I'm sort of thinking they're way out there at the cutting edge to start with. So that point number eight is just consider how technology could serve you more during meetings. We're almost there. Tip number nine is consider having your meeting standing up. The main reason for this is to keep them short and snappy. But perhaps a byproduct is that we think on our feet. Traditionally, Privy Council meetings take place standing up to keep them short and punchy. And for the same reason, I know a lot of managers who have their Monday morning meetings standing up. Of course, not all meetings need to take place in a formal boardroom or even around a table. Sometimes I think the most effective meetings are the ones that are slightly more casual. I read recently as well that in warm countries, you have to have the good weather for this. And I read about an article where in Spain, it's quite common to have meetings walking around a block. And the meeting has to be over by the time you get back to where you started. Only good for good weather, I think. That's the ninth tip. Consider having your meetings standing up so we don't get too comfortable in those squishy armchairs. The tenth tip, our final tip, is about monitoring your effectiveness in running meetings. So if you're serious about improving the effectiveness of your meetings, maybe consider in having a meeting effectiveness item at the end of your agenda. So at the end of the meeting, whoever's running it just quickly goes around the table and asks attendees if they've achieved their meeting outcomes and seek their opinion about how that meeting could have been more effective. You know, what did we do well next time? What could we have done differently? Those organizations who are serious about enhancing their effectiveness and the time spent in meetings will tend to do this. And it can be done very quickly, but it means that something that we're holding out to be a competency, which is effective, streamlined meetings, is assessed. That old adage of if you're not monitoring it, you cannot manage it. So that's our 10 tips. Let me quickly go back through them. The first one, start at the beginning, as it were, know your result. What is it I'm trying to achieve? What does a successful meeting look like? Circulate the agenda beforehand. And if people are required to do work in advance, make that explicit in the instructions. Third tip, good meetings should be time boxed, not just with a start time, but also with an end time. Maybe meetings should also have a time limit to them, you know, 90 minutes, because above and beyond that, you might be into more than one meeting, or people's attentions just begin to drift. Consider having fluid attendees. This is the one that requires the little bit of trust, where people can come and go from the meeting depending on what's being discussed and what's the best use of their time. I think Elon Musk would be proud of that one. Keep the actions visible, you know, the who, the what, the where and the when, so that people have clarity and certainty around what's required of them. Then there was that tip number 7 about preparing questions, not just statements, because questions turn monologues into dialogues. It's also how you engage people. It's also how you stimulate discussion. And perhaps having questions on the agenda item as well encourages people to think about solutions before they even come into the room. Then there was the point about harnessing technology, you know, to work with technology rather than against it. And then those last points, you know, consider having the meeting standing up to keep it short and snappy and harness the ability we have to think on our feet. And then the last point about monitoring the effectiveness of the meeting. So you actually have the discipline of focusing on the effectiveness of the meeting as part of the meeting. So I hope those few points are of benefit. A few that are certainly based on common sense, but perhaps one or two that are points you could just try out. So thank you for listening. As ever, there's more information about me, James Sweetman, on my website, jamessweetman.com, and all the social media platforms. So until next week.